For the Lore of the Land, this is Jack Leffler. The historic turbulence along El Camino Real de Tierra Adentro carried well into the 20th century as the Mexican Revolution affected millions of lives in Mexico and even in the United States. To this day, Pancho Villa, the Lion of the North, is remembered in countless corridos, or narrative ballads, that recall his myriad exploits in overcoming the oligarchic tendencies that inevitably arise when politicians remain in power for too long. Not everyone was happy with Pancho Villa and his army. Artist José Cisneros has spent many decades rendering artistic depictions of peoples whose lives enhanced the pageant of the Camino Real. Here, he shares his personal recollections of the Mexican Revolution and Pancho Villa.
My father was born in Rio Florido. I was born in April 1910, and the revolution started in November of that year. So I still belong to the Porfirio Díaz's era, and my father was a big conservative man and great admirer of Porfirio Díaz, because he introduced railroad and mining and in those days, and was a very peaceful, quiet town, farming community. Since they began the revolution, began to come and steal cattle and steal horses, and finally in, I think it was 1918, that General Murguia from the government asked the people to leave the houses and let the soldiers seek for money and arms and everything. So they sent us out and they destroyed the houses, and we were left without anything. My father decided to go to Rosario, which is a railroad station. And from then on, we wandered for years until 1925. We came to Juarez, where a brother of mine had come to the United States and was working here at that time, and was the one that brought us here, to Juarez, rather. We stayed in Parral, in the two railroad stations between Jimenez and Parral, Dorado and Baca, because in Dorado, a brother of my father lost his home. He had a general store for the mining town of Almoloya, had supplies for the mining, and I also used that home as a headquarters for some of the revolutionaries. Both the government and the revolution forces were wandering one way or another, fighting each other. And that was the life of the early days.
Enrique Lamadrid is one of the most knowledgeable scholars in New Mexico. His understanding of the history, lore, and music of his homeland is profound.
One of the things that really changed Mexico was a railroad, which also followed the route of the Camino Real coming north. By the time of the Mexican Revolution, a lot starts happening up and down that Camino and its rails of steel. By the time 1916 rolls around, 6 years of warfare has happened, politics starts getting really complicated. Francisco Villa, who was at one point a presidential contender, he was sitting in the president's chair in Mexico City with Emiliano Zapata to his side. Overnight, he became Pancho Villa the Bandit as soon as the U.S. government recognized Venustiano Carranza. We get the episode of the famous raid over into Columbus and the sight of Pershing's army, of a modern mechanized army, going south. They used the route of the Camino Real. They tried to get up in the mountains. They tried to find where Villa was. And there are a lot of really great stories that come out of that. There is an old corrido called La Punitiva that follows those events. It even follows how some of the airplanes were going after Villa. And there's an account of Villa capturing one of them and overflying some American troops and hanging out and yelling goodbye.
soldado de Francisco Villa, aquel hombre de fama inmortal. Y aunque estuvo sentado en la silla, no envidiara la presidencial. Ay, 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 ay. Ahora vivo allá por la orilla, recordando a Villa allá por Pará. Yo fui uno de aquellos dorados que en un tiempo llegó a ser mayor, y en la lucha quedamos lisiados defendiendo la revolución. ¡Ay, ay, ay, ay! Que tanto ha luchado al pie del cañón. Pancho Villa, te llevo grabado de mi corazón, y aunque a veces te vi derrotado por las fuerzas de Álvaro Obregón, ay, 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 siempre anduve como fiel soldado que tanto ha luchado al pie del cañón. Caballo que tanto montaba en Jiménez su vida entregó, una bala que a mí me tocaba a su cuerpo lo atravesó. Ay, 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 ay. Cuánto le lloraba cuando se murió. Al morir de dolor relinchaba. Cuánto le lloraba cuando se murió.
Historian Joe Sanchez has spent many years of his life studying the presence of El Camino Real de Tierra Adentro. He well understands the blossoming of Hispano culture in his homeland.
Most people think that Hispanics just recently got here. That's not true at all, especially in the area of New Mexico, where we can claim 20 generations of succession. We can also claim 20 generations of language, 20 generations perhaps of a dominant religion within the culture, 20 generations of folklore, of passing down dichos and cuentos, 20 generations of saying, on the Camino Real, these are the people who established the institutions that are here, not just the religious institutions, but the political institutions are very important. For example, the Cabildo, which is the town meeting, was established in San Juan de los Caballeros in 1598. The Cabildo has a direct succession of becoming the town meeting for legislative purposes. Landowners held elected offices. Some people were appointed into the Cabildo. The Cabildo became the Ayuntamiento during the Spanish and early Mexican period, and it became the territorial legislature and becomes a legislature. There is a direct succession between Juan de Oñate's Cabildo and the state legislature of New Mexico. Breaks the mold, doesn't it, when you take a look at what the tradition and what the significance of Camino Real is in many, many ways.
George Torok is an El Paso-based historian and is deeply involved in the history of El Camino Real in the border region.
The Camino Real is alive and well. It is still one of the most, perhaps the most, frequently traveled route between Mexico and the United States. It's one of the main routes for migration, immigration into the United States as well. Well into the 1960s, when the Bracero program was in effect and there were contract laborers being brought in. One of the largest Bracero processing centers was in El Paso. People were brought up on the rails and brought up on the highways into this area to perform work. So the Camino Real has never really disappeared. It remains a very active route. And if you live in the American Southwest, most of what we see in this area came up through the trail. The types of agriculture, the farm animals, the foods that we eat, the place names, the settlements, all of these things are a result of the trail. We see an awful lot of the Spanish culture and the Mexican culture.
For many, the landscape of New Mexico is one of the most alluring in the world. While this is the most arid of the 50 United States of America, the landscape is bisected by the Rio Grande, whose headwaters spring forth in the San Juan Mountains of southern Colorado, and which drains into the Gulf of Mexico. The history of El Camino Real de Tierra Adentro and the Rio Grande del Norte remain interlinked. Traditionally, wildlife remains abundant, and one of America's greatest national wildlife preserves is located at Bosque del Apache, just south of San Antonio, New Mexico. Much of the span of today's Interstate 25 parallels the ancient Camino Real. Joy Poole is the director of El Camino Real International Heritage Center, a New Mexico State monument located 3 miles east of Interstate 25 at exit 115.
We broke ground for El Camino Real International Heritage Center in January of 2002. And I remember it was a very snowy day, and just as the gold shovels went into the ground, this incredible rainbow came out across the mountains nearby where we were having the ceremony. And I think for the people of New Mexico, as well as the United States and Mexico, the center will serve as a portal to all these communities that were founded as a result of people traveling this Rio Grande corridor and El Camino Real. The idea is that the center will be a focal point for uniting these communities and helping them to tell their story about the settlement or their relationship to the environment and to this route called El Camino Real. The center itself has performance areas with an amphitheater, an auditorium, and we hope to have performing groups, mariachi festivals, to try and capture the traditions, the customs, the essence of Camino Real.
Sarah Schlanger is an archaeologist who works for the Bureau of Land Management. She shares her point of view about El Camino Real de Tierra Adentro as part of the system of National Historic Trails in the United States.
There are at present more than a dozen National Historic Trails recognized across the country, of which one is El Camino Real. And El Camino Real sticks out because it's possibly one of the oldest roads in North America, and it is also one of the longest in use trails. We should really say roads in this case. In the National Historic Trail System. Most of those trails recognize a critical aspect of our history that had a pretty short duration. For example, we have the Iditarod Trail in Alaska that recognizes the dog sledders and dog teams' contribution to saving Alaskan lives during epidemics. And we have the Selma to Montgomery Trail, which is one of my favorites, which recognizes America's incredible change that we went through in the 60s. As we struggled with the civil rights and the civil rights movement in the South. We have trails that commemorate the pioneer movements across this country. Those are fairly short-lived movements when you think about it, but the Camino Real was an active road for centuries. It goes back through pre-Columbian times, through pre-Anglo occupation of the Americas. It continues forward as part of the Spanish occupation of the Americas for 300 years. That's a long, long time of unbroken use, and it really sets Camino Real apart from the other National Historic Trails and gives us something to be really, really proud of in this country, that we have a road that connects us to the entire world that is one of our national historic trails. It's an international historic trail connecting what's now the U.S. with what's now Mexico, with what's now Spain, and our past in this place.
CARTA is El Camino Real de Tierra Adentro Trail Association. The Trail Association has been formed to help protect and promote and preserve the trail, work with the National Park System, work with the Bureau of Land Management, and try to develop different types of projects and develop different types of guides to the trail and inform people about the significance of El Camino Real over the centuries.
Bureau of Land Management archaeologist Stephen Fosberg recognizes the great importance that El Camino Real has had historically and continues to have over 400 years since it was first established as the Royal Road to the Interior.
Parts of Camino Real, like the Jornada del Muerto, are many miles away from the interstate and would be out of sight. But other than that stretch, for the segment of the trail in New Mexico, say from El Paso up to the Hatch area where the Camino Real takes off to the east on the Jornada del Muerto, and then again where that loop rejoined the trail closer to the river between Truth or Consequences and Socorro, and then from there on up, you're within sight of the trail almost the whole time you're on I-25. So I think I-25, as you drive it today, gives you a good sense of the landscape and the countryside that the early explorers and traders experienced coming up the Camino Real. And I think the modern versions of the trail, I-25, are continuing to serve the original purposes of the trail in that sense. The trail lives on because the trade is continuing and even accelerating with the passage of NAFTA. The Camino Real was, to an extent, it was a trail of immigration, but largely it was a trail built for commercial purposes, for supply of goods and the trading of goods north and south. And I-25 is certainly that today, as you witness the big semis hauling huge volumes of trade in both directions. That historical link that we have with Mexico is not only continuing, but actually accelerating. People traveling up and down I-25 today should realize that they're traveling on a cultural corridor that's been a vibrant, functioning connection between cultures, now entering the fifth century of use. The time depth and the change that this trail has brought about literally changed the history of the American Southwest, and one could argue perhaps the Western United States. You simply can't understand the history of the Southwest unless you know the history of the Camino Real. It's one of the most significant cultural treasures this country has.
There's different senses of space, different senses of time in New Mexico. Spatially, since we arrived from the south, it's a north-south corridor. It is the Camino Real. We are norteños. Our being, our way of looking at things is always in reference to the south, where we came from. We're a southern people that came to a northern place, but our way of life has taken root here. The indigenous point of view in New Mexico is very different. Native peoples here have a sense of the center space. They've been here for so much longer as a culture of habitat that they are literally in the center of their world. People live in the center of a sacred space. This whole notion crosses the cultural boundary into the Hispano culture, which then becomes a kind of Indo-Hispano culture, and you get the Norteño orientation, but you also get a sense of centeredness that people learn after four centuries of being here. There's an extraordinary sense of cultural homeland. We call it querencia. Querencia is a folk concept. It's a sense of belonging. It's a sense of rootedness. Querencia is the place where you know you belong. Sometimes it's the place where you're born. It's mobile. You can develop a new querencia in a new place, but how do you set down roots in a new place? There's many ways of doing that, of becoming part of a new place, and people certainly did it here. People who are from New Mexico want to be in New Mexico. If they're not here, they're trying to figure out how to come home. Querencia means all of those things. It comes from the verb querer, to want or to love. It's a place that you love. It's a place that you want to be. It even has a sense of the place that you prefer to die in.
Como lluvia interminable lloviendo sobre un papel. Como lluvia interminable lloviendo sobre un papel. Pájaros, truenos y rayos, alas de papel pautar, Anaheón, 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 Anaheón. Nuevo México, mi tierra, mis raíces, mi país. Nuevo México, mi tierra, mis raíces, mi país. Es mi orgullo haber crecido entre frijol, chile y maíz, Anaheón. Río grande, generoso por tus venas aguada. Río grande, generoso por tus venas aguada. Y alimentas a tu gente con tanto vegetal, Anaheón. En tus montes se oyen voces silenciosas del pasado. En tus montes se oyen voces silenciosas del pasado. Son los cantos de los indios que alegre su vida dan, Anaheón. De Calichi son tus templos de belleza el palomar. De Calichi son tus templos de belleza el palomar. Vida, luz, tierra y colores, arroyos de agua cristal, Anaheón. Anaheón. Y es el cielo de tus tardes el espejo del Creador. Es el cielo de tus tardes el espejo del Creador. La sierra sangre de Cristo te enseña su corazón, Anaheón. Anaheón.
The Camino Real International Heritage Center is situated east of Interstate 25 between Socorro and Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. It overlooks the northern aspect of the Jornada del Muerto, one of the most isolated regions of the New Mexican landscape. It also overlooks the distant Trinity site, where in a blinding instant, the first atomic bomb was detonated, thus ensconcing humanity and the rest of the planetary biotic community in the nuclear age. This program marks the end of this radio series within a series, focusing on El Camino Real de Tierra Adentro, the Royal Road to the Interior, that in all likelihood remains the oldest continuously used road of European provenance in North America. In the 8 programs to follow, we'll continue to wander throughout the American Southwest, the area known in earlier centuries as Nuevo Mexico that included Arizona and parts of Colorado, Wyoming, and Utah. We'll visit cultural homelands on either side of the Continental Divide, the backbone of North America, and try to understand something of the relationship of indigenous cultures to their respective habitats. We'll return to the presence of Hispano culture and Anglo culture and make a special visit to the Depression years of the 1930s, when the New Deal of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt had an enormous impact on New Mexico and the rest of the United States. The Lore of the Land is sponsored by the Museum of New Mexico Foundation and the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs. This portion of our series was funded by a grant from the United States Bureau of Land Management with the continuing support of the Ford Foundation. We'll close with a musical offering rendered by my friend guitarist Carl Bernstein, whose music has so greatly enhanced this radio series. For the Lore of the Land, this is Jack Leffler. Thank you for listening.